I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at Geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Barbara and Declan, join us once again in the run-up to the big day.
Afternoon.
Right, here is your first. Here's your first question. I've been seeing a guy for a couple of months who is kind, generous, good-looking, and funny. And on top of that, we have a lot in common. There's just one small thing. Pardon the pun. He has a small penis. I'm genuinely devastated by this. I had my suspicions in the first few dates because he didn't seem interested in sex, but was more than happy to please me. The last time he stayed, I saw it erect, and I can confirm it's micro, no bigger than a super tampon. He obviously knows it's small, given his behaviour with me in bed, etc. I feel like such a horrible person for even thinking like this. He seems good at the other bits, and maybe I would get used to it. But I really enjoy sex, and I don't think I'd be able to give up a good pounding. We haven't had actual intercourse yet, and I'm afraid to even broach the subject. It goes without saying that I can't tell him how I feel or what I think. Some of my friends say I get over it if I like him. I could grow to love him and it won't matter. However, lots of my friends think I'll never be fully satisfied, so I should cut my losses. I genuinely am torn. On the one hand, he's the perfect man, but I just don't know if I could overlook this. Well, clearly you could.
Yeah, exactly.
You can see all around it.
It was earlier this morning when I read this for the first time and kind of tried to percolate.
Are you talking about when you were having your full Irish? I'm just wondering
is that
you were having
porridge.
No, that was the sausage reference.
I'm vegetarian, having a vegan burger.
You're not allowed to call them vegetarian sausages anymore.
Anyway, like when I first read this, and I'm not sure that I'm the better of it, and it wasn't the fact of the small penis that threw me off kilter as much as the woman here who's written into us comparing it to a super tampon and also describing how she likes a good pounding.
Well, she's being
so thanks
front.
For that. Yeah, that was great. Yeah. I mean, the huge issue, pardon the pun, is that they haven't had sex yet.
Correct.
So going on the basis, because that's all I have to go on, on the basis that cliches are often based on fact or, you know, or truths.
Yeah.
Surely it's not so much the size of it as what he might be able to do with it. That's the issue here. So all I have to offer this woman is don't do it until you've actually had sex with this guy before you decide to move on. But that's all I have to offer. I don't know what else I can tell you like to do.
Is it in yet?
Yeah, exactly.
I
do think the try before you buy piece of advice is a good one. I think it does kind of conflict with the rest of the sense of this letter, which when I read through, I was thinking, oh, here's a woman who knows what she wants. And if she knows what she wants and it doesn't appear that the person she's with is going to give her what she wants, however, she may feel other people might judge or think that that's a strange thing to be prioritizing. I think that you should follow your own kind of heart in that area. That you should, look, if you know what you want, you know what you want. That's basically the bottom line. And if you're not going to get it from whoever it is, regardless of what that is, whether that's affection or a pounding or whether good intellectual conversation or, you know, a lift to work, you know, whatever it is, if you're not going to get what you want, it's not going to work for you, is it? So that's the first thing I'll say. The second thing I will say is that I don't know, like, even with the comparison to the super tampon, I still don't know.
I can't even remember what size they are.
I'm tempted to Google that.
So I kind of think I know what she means, and I kind of wonder whether or not that's an actual, architectural
comparison.
Kind of, you know, measurement comparison thing,
right.
You know, is it an actual comparison or whether she's just being kind of euphemistic and maybe being a little bit hard or on the guy, which leads me to the point that maybe as for some men, they're kind of like, you know, they have levels of hardness, and maybe he's just a bit uncomfortable and hasn't fully developed.
Wow,
his full erection.
You need to know more about this than I did.
I know. I don't know, because I mean, there is, you know. Look, the bottom line for me is that...
Yeah, a super tampon, according to Google, is 2 to 2.5 inches long. Okay, 5 to 6 centimetres.
Yeah. So it's kind of like micro...
There is a genuine thing, a micro penis. Yeah. And I know we're all skidding. But say if she'd written in saying, you know, he's a limp this is probably in the same category as, you know, maybe he's got a mild disability or he's missing a finger or, you know, something like that.
And
because of a sawing accident from his days as a carpenter.
But this isn't exactly it. And the reality is that, you know, you wouldn't be. And, you know, in days of yore.
It depends on if it was in the context of their sex life or not.
Yeah,
that
true.
That missing finger was a problem.
And she doesn't like holding hands with him.
And the problem could be the other way around. The problem could be that, you know, it was too big and it was causing pain. So, of course, you know, we're all made in different sizes and shapes and all that kind of stuff. But the reality of it is that in my first perspective was at this early stage of our relationship, and it isn't that, you know, she's been, you know, married off to this guy and this is, you know, her forever, and she has to make, you know, and that's the surprise and the wedding night and that's what she discovered, and therefore she has to make that work for the rest of her days. And by the way, the other thing about the rest of your days is that your interest in sex changes as you get older, plus what you can do in bed doesn't necessarily have to be as kind of vanilla as that particular process. There are, you know, I don't want to talk about sex toys, but we've talked about them before in this lot, and it kind of makes me feel a bit ill, but you can use them.
We're agreed that she's been a bit premature in making a decision just yet, when she hasn't given
try before you buy.
Yeah, she has to kind of, yeah.
If it's not happening for her now, it's not going to happen to in the future. Says one person, she needs to end the relationship now. Why are you all laughing? Says somebody else, this is horrible. He can't help the size of it. A bit of sensitivity wouldn't go astray. It isn't the size of the bee, it's the sting of the bee.
That's what I was trying to say.
Says another texter.
What does that mean?
I don't know what that means.
No, that doesn't make sense. That's that's a silly aphorism that doesn't mean anything. But the reality is, look, it all comes down to it, cruel or not, and silly or not, people match up with people that they find attractive and that work for them. That's just the cruel, harsh reality of life. Just because people are different shapes and sizes, you know, you can't force somebody to be in a relationship with somebody that they don't find attractive or who doesn't do it for them.
But isn't it possible that the sex could be okay when they have the sex? That this is something in her head because it looks small, that she's thinking like, oh, this could be a bit...
Maybe, yeah. Imagine like she has sex and then she goes, oh my God, this is, you know. And
I wonder, is it an attraction thing rather than an actual
physical
thing?
Well, it may well be. It's like, I don't like somebody's nose.
Maybe you're the problem. He's just not that into you. And he's going, oh God.
I see that now. You weren't obvious enough for me.
So that's what I'm saying. That there's a load of scenarios in this whole thing. It's early days and people haven't found their comfort zone, their erogenous zone, whatever zone they need to find. And you need to try it before you find out whether it's going to work for you in that way. But, you know, and if it doesn't, you know, that's it. I wouldn't say that that's cruel.
No, that's just fact.
That's just it.
Yeah.
Would we laugh as much if this was a man complaining about a woman's body? There's another text.
I don't know.
We would. Because you were talking about, you know, we kind of did. Is it in yet? Could be applied both directions. Is that the pencil or is that the plastic?
Somebody else says, I'm more shocked she told all her friends. Ah, come on. Then she told a national radio station. This year for the first. So we are we saying you're both saying give it a go?
Give it a go. You can't decide until you've given it a go. And I'd say maybe give it a couple of goes to get over your mental kind of issue with it, and then see.
And also, part of the thing about giving it a go is like, does he talk about it? Because if it's apparently obvious that you know, there's a, you know,
a shortfall,
disability, or whatever you want to call it, then that talking about it has to be part of the conversation.
I know, but in advance, talk about giving somebody stage fright.
See, that's what I mean. Like, I just think there's a lot of
poor fella. Jesus. For the first time in years, I'm heading back to the family home for Christmas. I've been living abroad for an extended period, but I'm back living in Ireland now. This will be the first big family Christmas in ages, so we're all looking forward to it. However, Mom has already told me I'm going to have to share a bedroom with my older brother. Don't get me wrong, I love him to bits, but we're going to be sharing the same room that we shared together as kids, when we used to fight like cats and dogs. We're both in our early 30s now, but still, he has so many annoying habits that it's going to be hard not letting it become a tense situation. He's unbelievably messy, doesn't wash as much as he should, leaves his dirty boxers and socks all over the place, he smells, he has sleep apnea and loves his cans. Honestly, I'm dreading it, but the house is small and my little sister is already on the sitting room couch. How can we make it through Christmas?
Doesn't sound yeah. like you will.
Have you considered emigrating again?
Yeah. Well, the other obvious thing is just stay somewhere else if that's possible. But like, look, in this situation, I don't know how long this person's been away and whether or not this version of their brother that they created is a reality or just some kind of avatar for the general sense of coming back to the family home to take up, you know, where you left off. Whereas, you know, you've grown and you've been living a more adult life somewhere else. I think a lot of us have experienced that thing. And it's always a bit strange to go back to your family home where, you know, that was where you were a kid and it's associated with so many of those kind of memories. I think you have to just suck it up and just go, this is a short term thing. You're not doing it so that you're going to be comfortable. You're doing that so you can be together as a family. And if you can't communicate and say, you know, to your brother, I don't know what he's going to do. Do you think he's going to be sitting around drinking cans in his
jocks,
in that space because he owns it? Then I think you're within your rights going.
I didn't get the he loves his cans reference either. I was thinking, is that like a euphemism for something else, or is that like so? What
no,
if he loves?
I think maybe she's referring to farts.
Maybe that's it. Oh, okay.
God, that's really.
Janie. I didn't get that either.
Sitting there drinking cans.
Do you think you do that downstairs rather than
the bedroom? Like, why has that been included here in the long list of things that's annoying? The obvious thing here that struck me when I read this was that the sister is sleeping on the sofa. Why don't she and the sister share the bedroom?
This is a brother, I think. He's wrote this letter.
Yeah, but
Brother. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, right.
That would be the only logical bit why that's happening that way.
Well, then, like, okay, right. I just assumed it was a woman because of like he doesn't share enough and all the rest of it. In my head, like men just don't care like about that in each other. Yeah. So
have you met me?
Oh, okay. Well, then, okay. Forget that. I mean, it doesn't matter that he's the older brother. If he is, and I agree with you, like if this person has been away for a number of years, he may not still be. You know, I think what happens very often when you go back to the family home at Christmas, you all revert back into the people you were like 20, 30, 40 years ago. So he may have learned to grow up a little bit and have showers and not be throwing his dirty jocks and socks all over the shop. His sleep nap.
And if he hasn't, you're well within your rights to tell him to grow the F up,
That's exactly it.
And I mean, that's the reality. The reality of it is there's two choices. One is you suck it up and just deal with the weirdness of that family situation, or you book into a B&B around the corner and you just live your life of adult luxury that you've become accustomed to. You know, everything else is just complaining. I haven't got time for that now.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, okay, if he says something to the brother and then there's a bit of a wielding and then, you know, the parents are going, oh, we were hoping you wouldn't do this. We haven't been together in such a long time and all that kind of stuff.
Well, I think you've got to judge it. You know what I mean? I think you're entitled to say to your brother if you're sharing a room, you know, would you ever go and have a shower or you stink or can you move your dirty jocks and socks and put them in the laundry
basket? And
your
brother then gives you
should become a huge big row. If, you know, it's not worth having a huge big row.
Coming back
it's going to upset your mammy who's got enough to do at Christmas without having to be flipping referee when you and your brother are being stupid about stupid stuff.
You come
like
back
in the general
from Australia
scheme of things,
or America with all your airs and graces.
Your notions there. You're washing.
Of showers and putting your clothes in the
laundry. Yeah, well, you know, he could just like tell his mammy or his daddy. He's being stinky.
Be a rat.
He's a stinky.
And
he loves his cans.
I'm nearly 6 months pregnant with our first child. We're overjoyed. For Christmas, we will be visiting my partner's, family. And we will see a lot of extended family and friends. I've noticed that people love to touch my bump without asking me and then told me loads of birth horror stories. I've generally been relaxed about things, but I know I'm going into a few days where all the older aunties and cousins will be commenting. and I know I'm going to end up snapping back at them. I'm sick of the old wives' tales about whether it's a boy or a girl, or people telling me to stop exercising or start exercising, whatever rubbish they've heard. I found everybody has something to say about my body and my baby, and I just want to tell them to say nothing. I'm also planning on having one glass of wine on Christmas Day, and I don't want any lectures. What should I do? Oh my God.
Pivot at the end.
That last bit is the bit. You buried the lead there.
Very pivoting.
I totally get this. And it brought me back a million years ago to when I was pregnant. And that thing that people... I thought maybe it had changed.
So had I. Actually, I'm surprised by the bump touching thing.
Because, you know, I mean, I can remember particularly when I was pregnant on my first, and that was in the late 80s. People did think it was okay. Like, I was in work. The people could come up and just immediately touch your bump, which was like, yeah, I didn't like that either. But I genuinely thought it had changed. So I think there might be an element of this woman overthinking this a little bit. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And thinking just because she's going to be with older people that they somehow didn't get the memo and that they will revert back to how things used to be. I'm hoping that's the case. Now, there'll always be, you'll always find people who'll give you advice that you don't need. Not just about pregnancy, about everything in life. You know, there's always somebody who knows it all, been there, done that, and here's how I sorted it out. And it's usually not particularly helpful.
It's the entire premise of this slot, Barbara.
That's a good point, Duncan.
I mean, obviously, I would think you're fully entitled to, if people do start launching into some kind of like what they think is helpful advice, you know, you're well entitled to cut them off of the pass and go, look, you're grand. I don't want to hear about those horror stories, or, you know, look, I'm fine. Me and my doctor are grand and we're all good. I also think she needs to get her partner on board, though. Make him aware of the fact that she's, you know, kind of worried that this might be something that happened, because he has responsibility as well to make sure that she isn't subjected to that. It's in his family home and all the rest of it. So I think if you alert him to it, I think if you alert the partner, I think things have probably moved on, and I think you're possibly overthinking it a little bit. I think it'll probably be reasonably okay. And put the wine into it like a mug and drink it out of a mug like it's a cup of coffee.
I hear what you're saying. My perspective when I read this was a little bit different, because I get the bit about the pregnancy, but I think the underlying this is somebody who's kind of saying, I don't want to hear anybody else's views, and I think there's a way that I can make them all stop, and you can't. There's a kind of a control thing going on.
Yeah.
And whether that control thing is rooted in kind of, you know, concern about the pregnancy, or just concern about their own liberty and freedom and space and not being kind of touched or... Yeah. Lecture that or whatever. As you said already, I mean, God, how peaceful would the world be if we could just get from one end of the day to the other without being lectured on, you know, this is the best way, that's the worst way, and do this not. And we all have our own opinions, and everybody else has their own opinions, and unfortunately, that's never going to change.
Yeah.
So, you know, expecting that you or somebody else is going to be able to create this cocoon where you can kind of move through your pregnancy and not be mithered or bothered or irritated in some way is a little bit delusional. And I think that's going to create a scenario where your blood pressure is going to go up, and I don't think you want to do that. I don't know. The wine thing is just kind of funny to me because, you know, it's whatever. Do it if you want to, but, you know, whatever. Yeah. I don't have an opinion on that. But I do think that expecting everybody else to, you know, SDFU just because you want them to that's a highway to hell.
I think you're probably right, but I think also the problem here is that she's now hyper aware of it, which means that if anybody says anything even vaguely, you know, kind of coming towards a bit of advice or unhelpful information, that she will possibly, I'm not saying she will, but she possibly will have an overreaction to
that. But imagine, like, it's like when, you know, during COVID and people were kind of saying stuff that you didn't want to hear, and you go, oh, okay, whatever, and everybody's having their opinions, and you go, two ways to handle that. One is to actually engage in the discussion and try to, you know, correct misinformation. Or two is just kind of find a way.
Just back like out of the room.
I'm over to get a canapé or my mug of, like, you know, Ribena over there, you know, and I'm over there. See you later, Auntie Cecilia. I haven't got time for this right now.
Yeah.
You know, that's what, you know, self-care, best approach. Move away. Don't engage. You know,
absolutely.
Stress.
Yeah, I think actually it's probably the glass of wine that's going to cause more.
Yeah, I mean, again, that's like,
it's none of his business. Like, it's totally her business.
Of course not. But, well, you might get the that's my grandchild you're cooking in you know.
And I mean,
I know, it's one glass of wine, and you know, she could say, well, it keeps my mind off the heroin.
Or your husband's breath. Whatever it is, you know. Yeah. You know, just don't throw the grenade.
Yeah, it stops me thinking about his micro penis, to be honest with you. I'm living in Australia. My sister lives here too, just down the road from me. Every year we spend Christmas Day together, the two of us and our partners. This year, our mum has flown over to spend a month with us over the holidays. And my sister said she could stay with them as she's a much bigger house than ours. We have a small woodbed apartment. However, when my mum arrived, she discovered that my sister has given the spare room to her best friend and relegated mum to a bed on the floor in the extremely hot attic study space at the top of the house. My mum is extremely upset and hurt, and to add insult to injury, her friend is extremely rude and spends every day scrolling on her phone and telling us our conversations are boring her. How do I broach this with my very sensitive sister?
I'm going to start at the back of the bit about somebody sitting there telling you that your conversation
is boring. Yeah.
Oh, God. You know, give me that sense, that, give me that bravery. I love it. I also obviously think it's nuts. I don't get how the sister could be on board to invite the mom to stay with her, who she knows is coming on that long trip over, and then
stick her in the attic.
Stick her in the attic. It's in Australian summer.
In high summer. Yeah.
That seems like a move of some kind. That seems like there's some undercurrent or something. Now, the undercurrent could be simply that the bestie decided to come over at the same time, and she's kind of trying to juggle those things, and she feels that she wants to impress the bestie more than she does her mum, and that's down to the dynamics of first relationships. Barbara's smiling because I know you've made the trip over to Australia a few times, so I'm sure I can imagine how
they
respond.
They don't put you in an attic
if anybody. If
nobody puts Bap in the corner.
Nobody puts Bap in the corner, and I'll tell you something. I mean, to me, this is about respect.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, as you say, I've been travelling forward and back to my daughter, and daughter is now in Australia for years, and I usually stay with my daughter in Perth, and my poor grandson, I was going to say godson, my poor grandson Max gets turfed out of his room in order to make room for Bap and Paul to stay, and that's, you know, and I appreciate that, and it's but I mean, if I was put in an attic when the best friend was sleeping in the bedroom, I'd be on the next flight back home saying, lads, sorry, this is not what I have travelled halfway around the world in order to spend Christmas with you guys. And it's about respect. That sister deserves a smack.
Yeah.
It's about respect.
Yeah.
And, you know, especially as, I mean, it's not as if the best friend is being a bundle of laughs and bringing loads of stuff to the party. Like, why is she in the bedroom? I just don't get it. Like, the whole thing is ridiculous. And I think this sister, the one who wrote to us saying, oh, how will I broach it with my very sensitive sister? Like, what the hell, very sensitive sister?
Well, I think by sense,
in no uncertain terms that it is not right to have mom.
Perhaps the sister who wrote the letter in feels a little bit on the back foot because she's not able to put up her mom. So that kind of makes it like, well, you do it to the other sister.
Yeah,
and then the other sister doesn't do it in the way that she feels is appropriate, respectful, or whatever. So then there's a kind of a, you know, that's the conversation. It isn't simply, you know, you said you'd put mum up and you did. It's actually, you're not putting mum up to the way that
the
I believe.
Poor woman. Well, if I was mum, I'd be booking a flight straight home.
Yeah. But this may be, she may have been saving for this for 6 months.
Is,
it might be her first
Australia
time going
she's
over.
In, but temperatures in most of Australia now, like 40, at this time of year, it'd be up at 40 in the daytime.
Oh,
and like, they'll be up in the high 20s at night. It would be absolutely unbearable to be in a room that is not like fully air conditioned and cool. And if it's a hot and extremely hot, she goes, and I would say somebody in Australia saying it's extremely hot, that's extremely, extremely hot.
And I also don't understand how somebody can be, you know, sensitive as the sister describes her, while simultaneously being so oblivious and rude.
I mean, she may mean sensitive in the way of don't criticise me, rather than she's,
I think the criticism is warranted. I think the mother, you know, isn't getting the respect that she's entitled to. And I think, And having the friend just sitting around, because that's the other part of it, is that, you know, the mum has come over for a big family get together.
I'm wondering, has the friend arrived over from Ireland as well? Is that why she's staying there, the best friend?
Yeah, I don't know.
Do you know, has she just arrived first and got the spare? Which is no excuse, absolutely no excuse.
Oh, I actually did assume that rather than the sister has moved in as a lodger or something. I don't know, but whatever. Maybe there's an economic reason for it that I wasn't thinking about, but even still, you know.
No. I'd be out of there. I'd be out of there for sure.
We don't really have a solution to this.
No, we don't have a solution, except that the sensitive sister deserves a smack as well.
And
as
she deserves to be told, yeah.
But she deserves to be told to know. I mean, sensitive or not, she deserves to be told to know in certain terms that that is not good enough.
It's not good
for
enough.
For our mother.
Yeah.
To stick her up in the attic. Not good enough. Can't do that.
I'm currently trying to get over a situationship. Here we go. Basically, I've been seeing and sleeping with a guy for the last 3 months and my head is absolutely scrambled. He's giving me the bare minimum and I keep going back. How do I snap out of it? He genuinely won't make any plans or reply to my messages, but when we do see each other, the sexual chemistry is just great. I know I deserve someone who prioritizes me, but at the same time, I like what we have. I don't love how I feel between seeing each other. I feel more obsessed and upset by him than when I broke up with my ex, who I was with for 4 years. I think the best thing to do is to move on and forget him, but I don't know how to cut him off completely.
Ooh. This is like the absolute total reverse and opposite of the first question.
Yes. This man is all Mickey.
This man is all Mickey and is doing great.
And he's a bit of a dick.
Huh?
He's a bit of a dick.
Yeah, he's doing. But I mean, obviously, he is, from what the little bit that she's told us, and the fact that she calls it a situationship, obviously, he's just thinking this is casual hookups.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's grand and no strings attached. Casual hookup, the sex is great, and that's okay. He's not looking for anything else. So I think, unless that she is happy to deal with that, and I think if he's not looking for anything else now, I don't think that's going to change in 6 months or a year's time.
No.
So I think that's all that she's going to get from this guy. If she wants to continue with that, fair enough. But if she's looking for a relationship, I think then she has to move on. I think like respect and communication are like vital to any relationship, a proper functioning relationship, which he isn't showing. So I'm thinking he's just looking for the hookup. And I think she should cut her losses.
You know, do you remember the ad where the guy stands up on the bus and goes, I don't know what a tracker mortgage is? I kind of feel the same way about it. I don't know what a situationship is, but I feel a couple of weeks ago we were talking about these, you know, labels that people, particularly the young kids, are coming up with these labels to help them to negotiate stuff, blah, blah, blah. But if the label isn't clear as to what it is and it doesn't give you an idea of what you are getting from it, it sounds kind of scammy to me. This sounds to me like somebody is in a situation where they're giving the other person all they need and all they want from the situation while they're not getting, you know, again, the respect or the emotional attachment that they actually are looking for. So they're basically looking in the wrong place for the right thing, if you know what I mean. So I think in that instance, it doesn't matter whether you call it a situationship or a hookup or you're being, you know, used as, you know, easy target by some guy. The bottom line is that situation isn't going to change until you are honest with yourself about what it is you want and make those boundaries part of what it is that you're looking for.
But she wants him. That's a problem.
And she sounds like she's fallen in love with him a little bit.
She absolutely has.
Far away hills and all that. You know, is he actually what you think he is? He's just that elusive thing. And she referred to a previous relationship that, you know, that ended, that broke her heart and all that kind of stuff. I think at the end of the day, sometimes they kind of, the drama around a relationship can be kind of all consuming and people love to be part of that. But really, those things signify nothing.
And also, as long as they're having a sexual relationship and that's all, she's holding on to hope that he will, you know, that will change into something more. And I don't think, if it hasn't happened now, I think it's
she knows it as well. Maybe a big part of this is that he is unattainable.
What do you mean?
That's part of the attraction. Oh. He's this total sex bot she's never going to have completely. I want to tie him down.
That's going to wreck your head.
Totally hiding to
him. And you know, and as long as, look, if he's that hot and you're getting it, that's fun. Flip it around and go, you know, at least I'm getting some while I ponder my future alternatives. But, you know,
falling in love.
Yeah, but then she needs to, you know, what is this with people not saying, you know, what's happening here? We've been doing this situationship for a number, you know.
I think she knows what's happening here.
Make him say it.
He's given her no, make him say it. Yeah, that's good advice. Make him say it.
Make him say what?
That he's not into a relationship, that this is just a casual thing.
Yeah, yeah. But she doesn't want to do that because she doesn't want to hear those words.
She doesn't want to hear the answer. Yeah. And I get that. Like, it is hard. That's hard.
Yeah.
I get that. Yeah. But I think she's on a hiding to nothing. And
she also needs to understand that the reason why that's going to hurt is because she's not in it for the same reasons as him, you know, unless she is. She, you know, if she just wants to be in it for the sex with some hot guy, then it's fine. But if she's looking for, but she's actually looking for him to fall in love with her, that's what she's looking for.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not, she's never going to get that, then
no,
she needs
it's not
going to
happen. Yeah,
at least she's getting a good pound.
That's
on the plus side.
Back to where we started.
Me and the listeners both hope you both get a good pounding during the Christmas period as well. Thanks for your advice all the way through the year, Barbara and Declan. Thanks a million.
Moncrief weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.